Let us bow our hand and pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Last Sunday, an angry prophet from the series of Journeying with Jonah, Reverend Daniel, compelled us to deny Jonah-like attitude, lingering upon the sense of injustice and the spirit of self-centeredness. But he encouraged us to take up the cross of self-emptying by allowing God to take our life from us for his service alone. That series ends there. However, our Easter season approaches, Ascension and Pentecost, St. Luke's Cathedral Sermon series continue, returning to our first love, Life in the Spirit series. So the first topic for us today is, who is the Holy Spirit? The text is taken from the lectionary reading of the sixth Sunday of Easter, that is Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1 to 14, John 14, 23 to 29. For our homily today, I have divided into three parts: general introductions, special introductions, and what does our reading from scriptures tell us about the Holy Spirit? So, who then is the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters? As for general introductions, I'm fully aware here the object of our subject matter is God Himself. In Him we all believe. So God is not a thing in the world or one reality among many. Rather, God is that power through the whole finite world come to be. So as we approach this topic, it requires sensitivity in our articulations and carefulness in the use of language. Moreover, when it comes to Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, without a doubt, the Holy Spirit is the most mysterious of the three, the one person we know the least about. One writer has referred to the Holy Spirit as a person without a face. The Spirit is a person of Trinity who hides his face because his work is not to draw attention to the third person of the Holy Trinity, but rather to open us up to the Father and the Son. Augustine famously described the Spirit as the bond of affections or a tie of love between the Father and the Son. That love is then poured out on us so that we are drawn into the circle of the Holy Trinity. That is why we hear Jesus said in our gospel reading today, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." For the specific introductions, my brothers and sisters, being an Anglican, we understand the Holy Spirit from two main sources. The first is from the 39 articles of our religions, at which Article 5 of the Holy Ghost, it states, "The Holy Ghost, proceeding from the Father and the Son, is one substance, majesty and glory with the Father and the Son, very and eternal God." The article follows closely the statements of Nicene Creed in harmony with the church doctrine of Chalcedon. So therefore, the second source for us is nonetheless from the word of Nicene Creed, in which we affirm our faith in every Sunday. In the Nicene Creed, on the Holy Spirit, we proclaim, "We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets." Every single word is pregnant with theological insights. According to our scriptures reading today, we would like to go deeper into two words among the four, namely the Lord, the giver of life, and proceeds from the Father and the Son. Holy Spirit is a giver of life. The Creed gave us a very beautiful designation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a giver of life. It can also mean the maker of life. The great task and functions of the Holy Spirit in nature is to give life. To give life. So in Ezekiel chapter 37, we can find the glimpse of reference to the Holy Spirit. In Isaiah's third vision, the hand of Yahweh, it also means the power of Yahweh, was upon Ezekiel. Yahweh brought Ezekiel out in the Ruah Yahweh, the Spirit of the Lord. Ruah Yahweh. Please bear in mind the Ruah word. He is taken to a valley of the dry bones. Yahweh caused Ezekiel to walk back and forth until he see for himself about these bones. The text mentioned two things. Firstly, they were great many of them. Secondly, they were very, very dry, which means the bones were the people long dead. There is no trace of life. There is no trace of recognizable individuals. Just simply dry bones. Sadly, they were unburied, which indeed was a great horror to Ezekiel, because in the Asian Near East cultures, demands proper burial like us for the sake of both the bereaved and the deceased. To deprive of burial was the final insult and invent the perpetuations of suffering into afterlife. So for our context today, an earth mass grave in Ukraine, bodies in gas chamber in concentration camps, piles of skulls and skeletons of Armenian genocides, etc., are all modern image of human death on a mass scale like Ezekiel visions. As for me, I have encountered a similar experience in my life. It was in the cyclone disasters in 2008, which claimed about more than 200,000 of lives in a one day. Allow me to share with this video, just a short video.
The majority still remain without proper shelter even after a period of 1 month. In the Ayari Delta areas, strong winds compounded by the high tide surge of 10 to 12 feet flattened hundreds of villages, creating numerous disaster zones.
At that time, Ezekiel receives the word from the Lord, "Son of man, can these bones live? I too receive, son, can these bodies live?" No one can answer these questions because the Lord Yahweh alone knows the answer. It reflects the Spirit of Yahweh alone is the Lord of life and death. Even death is held within the divine. That's why Deuteronomy 32 verse 39, it says, "See now, I am he, and there is no God besides me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal, and there is none that can deliver out my hand." So the Lord commands Ezekiel to prophesy over these dry bones. It might be a very absurd command for the prophet to follow. Anatomically speaking, although ears might have many bones, but the bones do not have any ears. Ear might have many bones, but there is no bones, that there is no ear in the bones. So to preach to the bones is even fatal than preaching to death. Yet Ezekiel simply obeyed and said, "O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord." As he preached, the bones have become lifeless corpses, no breath, no life, no movement. Suddenly, the divine voice commands Ezekiel to prophesy the breath, Ruah, and say to the breath, Ruah. As he obeys and commands the breath, Ruah stares among the corpses, and then they become alive and stand on their breath and their feet as the breath, Ruah, come into them. So these pictures, inanimate bodies come to life, undoubtedly recalls the original creations of humanity as we recorded in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. So the single total effects of this activity is Ruah is life. Life out of utter deadness. So my brothers and sisters in Christ, the Holy Spirit is the Lord, the giver of life. So the promise is not only true for Ezekiel in an exilic community, but it's also true for us who are living in the world where there's full of hatred, sins all around us. Yet, we are called to love God and our neighbors. It will be also true for our bodily resurrections. Believe in the word, through his Holy Spirit, it says, "Behold, I will open up your graves. I will raise you from your graves, O my people. I will bring you home. I will open up your graves. I will raise you from your grave, O my people. I will put my spirit within you. My spirit within you. And I will place you in your own land." Not only in the earthly land, but also the heavenly land. So we have been received his Holy Spirit through our baptisms and strengthened by our confirmations. His Spirit is always giving life to us and those who are around us. Secondly, the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father, and the Son is our helper. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father, and the Son is our helper. In our gospel reading today, Jesus breaks the news to his follower. The bad news is he is going away. And the good news is the Holy Spirit will come to restore the presence of the absent Jesus. So on the one hand, Jesus is saying, "I'm leaving you." On the other hand, he is saying, "I'm not leaving you because the Holy Spirit is coming. And when the Holy Spirit comes, I and the Father, my Father, will be coming." Jesus prepared his disciples that though he must leave them, he is not abandoning them. He will ask the Father to send the Advocate, the Spirit, to continue to teach them and remind them what he already taught them. Jesus said to this disciple, John 14:26, it says, "But the helpers, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." So indeed, Jesus has been teaching them for 3 years, now also after the resurrections. Moreover, the Holy Spirit will help them to remember the things that Jesus taught them so that they and the other followers can write down the New Testament. So Paul says in Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, "All scriptures is breathed out by God." Therefore, the promise of Holy Spirit is not only for Jesus' disciples at then, but also for us. He will help us to love Jesus and keep Jesus' words, because the Spirit makes God's love real to us and drawn us into the intimate relationship with the Father and the Son as a child of God in our journey of Christian's life. For expressions we can see for ourselves in our baptisms, think of the words said over Jesus, "You are my Son, the Beloved, with you I am well pleased." The Father is saying the same thing to us. In our confirmation, where the whole bishop prays the candidate will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Indeed, the Holy Spirit is filling our lives. In our Holy Communion, grant that by the power of the Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us his body and his blood. Exactly that what we receive during the Eucharist is Jesus' bodies and his blood. So in this relationship between the believer and also in the church, we are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God where we are here now. In all aspects of our Christian's life, the Holy Spirit indeed is our helper who proceeds from the Father and the Son. So Jesus says to his disciples, "Should be glad, not sad, that he is going to the Father, because this will result the Father and the Son making their home in the disciples' life through the Holy Spirit. Of course, this is not the ultimate goal. The Father and the Son making their home in us in order to lead us home. The gospel of God's grace is not only for us, but also for everyone. All nations will be heard. God's tree of life will heal the nations. The Spirit of God will accompany and equip all who believe. The new life of faith takes into a world far bigger than the one we think we know. And the Holy Spirit will inspire us and help us to engage the new world with love and peace. So Basil the Great says this, I quote, "When the sunbeam falls on our face, we enjoy it as though the sun shines for us alone. Whereas in reality, the sun is shining over the land and the sea and mingled in the air. In the same way, the Spirit is present to all who are open to receive Him, as if given to each uniquely and sent for grace sufficient and enough for all." The Holy Spirit is not only the helper for us, my brothers and sisters, yet but also for those who are around us. So I want to share this true story of a young man who I knew him since he was a primary 3 student. He might not be strangers to us. He is one of the SAC members who served quietly in the server ministry. Even though he is young and shy, but he is now in the border of Ukraine and Poland, serving the least of the least of our brothers and sisters from Ukraine. Recently, I called him and checked with him for how he is doing. During our conversations, I can even hear the sirens of ambulance from the background. One time, he is talking to Ukrainian in their native language, which indeed makes me surprised and amazed. Can we have the slides? He shared with me many emotional stories that he encountered. Now, he is there for nearly 4 weeks. This is what he writes, I quote, "The nightly fellowship we had really brought us closer together as a team with the Lord. Thankful to have opportunity to share Christ's love. The Holy Spirit indeed is the helper for this young man who is serving Christ's love to those who are in need of love in war-torn area." So my brothers and sisters in Christ, it comes to the end of my homily. One of the spiritual tragedies of our times is the loss of personal relationship with God in daily life. That because of the results of our increasingly automated world, we are in danger of becoming spiritually autistic, isolated, empty, aware only of our needs, and incapable of recognizing the reality of others' peoples. The Holy Spirit challenges us that our needs cannot be met by grasping as we imagined will satisfy us. Ultimately, we need to recognize our emptiness and turn away from ourselves to the love we receive through the Holy Spirit, who indeed is our giver of life and our helpers. So for that, we need the spirit of discipline for ourselves in order to order our lives. In our Anglican tradition, the teaching of catechism ends with the rule of life. Allow me to share the rule of life. It goes like this: as a member of the Church of Christ, I must loyally endeavor in my daily life to follow the teaching and example of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. It is my duty, and I promise, God, Holy Spirit, helping me to pray every day, morning and evening, to read the Bible daily with prayerful meditation, to join with the church in public worship every Sunday, to receive the Holy Communion regularly after self-examinations, to make the acts of devotions and self-denial, especially on Friday and during the seasons of Lent, to give to God regularly and liberally, in proportion to my means for the work of the church, for the relief of those in need. To learn, maintain, and hand on the faith committed to the church. To uphold the marriage laws of the church and bring up children to love and serve the Lord. To take part, a full part, in the work and witness of the church. Last but not least, to give our personal service to my neighbors and my country. To do my utmost to live peaceable with all men and to help others to do the same. End quote. So as we wait upon remembering the coming of the first coming of the Holy Spirit in Pentecost, we reflect ourselves with these words from the Richard Chelona. I quote, O blessed fire, when shall I partake of thy sacred flames? O come and take possessions of my heart. Consume all that bonds that tie it to the earth and carry it up to thee towards the heavenly furnace from whence thou comest. Let us respond ourselves with these songs called Veni Creator, Come Holy Spirit.
Inspire, enlightened with celestial fire, thou the anointing spirit art, who dost thy sevenfold gifts impart. Thy blessed unction from above is comfort, life, and fire of love. Enable with perpetual light the dullness of our blinded sight. Anoint and chill our soiled face with the abundance of
pray. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.